She lifted the cover off the hospital tray and frowned at the soggy turkey sandwich. I shook my head. I had lost my appetite along with the most important parts of myself. That summer, I learned that no one disappoints you as deeply as you disappoint yourself. My mother tucked her short brown hair behind her ear and joined me on the hospital bed. When her leg brushed up against mine, I scooted to the side, but she stopped me. Her hands cupped my face as she said, "Tess, I know you're not fine. Talk to me." She made it seem like a simple task, but how could I cobble together an explanation when nothing made sense anymore? I was 17. Discussing my emotions with my mother seemed like a pointless exercise. How could she know what it's like to love someone so deeply, so fully, and have them ripped away? I closed my eyes, trying to imagine the slope of the mountains, the way the blue hills melted into a green meadow. I wanted to rewind time, back to the beginning of the summer and all the things I would have done differently. But I couldn't. My eyes fluttered open as I was confronted with reality. A hospital room. My mother's hand clutching mine when I would have given anything to weave my fingers into his. "He's really gone." I didn't hide the crack in my voice or the tears that fell down my cheeks. My mother nodded. No one ever expects to have their heart broken, but I suppose I was better prepared than most. Windows, car engines, eggshells in our kitchen sink. My life was full of broken stuff. My mother used to say that cracks showed character, but none of her advice prepared me for that moment. I stared at the freshly sewn stitches on my skin. I didn't want to be the broken one. "He's part of me," I whispered. Even after everything, I wanted him back and felt powerless as he slipped away. "I know." My mom squeezed my hand. "It was only a few months. He shouldn't have meant so much. He shouldn't have changed my whole life. But he did. And somehow I had to keep living in a world where we'd never be together. Maybe that's why I hid him into the darkest corner of my heart. I thought I could get away with keeping him a secret. And I almost did." 1. June 2021. There's a familiar thud against my front door, and I know our paper has been delivered. I can't open the door in just the tank top I slept in, so I reach for Dean's jacket and zip it up. My obscenely tall husband's clothes swallowing me like a child. If a photo is going to be snapped of me, I'd rather look sloppy than indecent, although my campaign staff would tell me both are unacceptable. I shouldn't be worried about photographers wandering the streets of Charlottesville at 5 a.m, but lately I've been surprised by things I never thought possible. I hang up Dean's jacket and walk into the kitchen, slipping the flimsy wrapper off the paper. I'm anxious to see the front page, although I already know what to expect. The photo doesn't look like me, this polished woman with lipstick too red and hair curled too tightly. My smile is genuine, and my eyes are hopeful. That's why I agreed to this picture for the campaign, even though everything about it feels unnatural. I sit at my kitchen table, my long dark hair braided down my back, my face free from makeup, my outfit revealing the fact that I have both breasts and an ass. I study the two photos on the front page of the paper with the words "Tess Murphy versus Grant Alexander" written underneath. Our faces are pointing toward each other, our eyes looking off into the distance, as if neither one of us can be bothered to look at anyone else. My hand stops beside Grant's photo, and I let my finger trace the outline of his jaw. When I hear footsteps behind me, I quickly shove my hand under my thigh. Dean walks into the kitchen and wraps his arms around my shoulders,